Welcome to the Melton Forge Works podcast. I'm going to take you along on my day-to-day adventures in bladesmithing and blacksmithing. I'll be talking about the people involved in the craft and the tools and the methods that go along with it. So thanks for listening.
Well, it's been a while. It's Monday, August the 3rd. And as I alluded in my last podcast, things have been pretty busy for me with a lot of stuff going on around the house. Namely, a kitchen remodel, which we have been doing the bulk of the work on. And that is it's just starting to wind down. So I'm hoping to get back in the shop here pretty soon. I've got a couple of projects coming up. Again, I've got a collaboration that I can't quite speak about just yet. That's coming up. That's going to be really exciting. I'm super happy about it. And not to be a big tease, but I think everybody else will appreciate it too. In the meantime, I've got a new toy. I ordered an induction forge. And if you're not familiar with induction forging or induction furnaces or induction heating, it's basically a way to heat metal using electricity and magnetism, actually. And so it's a machine that cycles water through it to keep it cool, but it's got like a copper coil on the front, and it uses inductive magnetism, I think, basically, to induce current in a piece of metal that you stick inside this copper coil. And so if you just imagine like some quarter inch copper tubing coiled up into like a spring shape, like three coils of a spring, and then the two ends of that copper go back to this machine. Well, you turn this machine on, and you stick a piece of metal inside that copper coil, and you hit a foot pedal, and it induces current in the piece of metal that's inside the copper coil, and it begins to glow with heat rather quickly. So, to make a long story short, you take electricity that's going in the machine, and it converts it to forging heat. And so, if you have one of these machines set up, you can heat metal without heating up the shop. At least that's the big advantage for me. So you most of these machines run off of 220, and that's what this one's going to need, is like a 220 volt 40 amp circuit. And you basically just stick your metal in the coil and press the foot pedal, and within just a few seconds your metal is at forging temperature. And another thing that's really, really cool is that because it's inducing current in the specific part of the steel that you have inside the coil, the rest of your steel bar stays cool. And so it's kind of like having an acetylene torch that you can use to concentrate heat in one very specific area. The unit that I purchased is by a company called Lihua, L-I-H-U-A. It's a Chinese company, and they export a bunch of these different machines. The most popular version of their machine is sold by a company called U.S. Solid. And it's a machine that's like black colored, but mine is blue. But anyway, they're all pretty much the same basic machine with varying power ratings. And so mine is a 15 kilowatt machine. And just for an example of its capabilities, I can put, say, 1 inch square material inside a coil, and using this induction heater, I can get that piece of 1 inch square up to welding heat in just a little over a minute. or less, depending on the area that I'm trying to heat. And you can move the piece of metal back and forth in the coil to spread your heat out over a larger area. So anyway, here in Mississippi, again, this time of year, it's pretty brutally hot. So I'm really looking forward to being able to fire up this induction forge without literally firing up the shop, you know, and not overheating everything in the shop. So I've got a lot to do to get the shop ready for this machine. I've got some electrical requirements that have to be met. And I need to get or build a metal cart for it. And I also had to order a cooling system for the induction heater, which is something else that doesn't get talked about a lot in relation to these machines, but they require a good amount of cooling in that they have water inlets and water outlets on the back of the machine, and they literally just won't turn on unless you have the correct amount of water pressure flowing through the machine. So that's designed to keep all the internal components cooled because it's doing some pretty heavy electrical conversion, for lack of a better word, inside the machine. So I ordered a TIG cooler, which is basically a water exchanger for a TIG torch to keep it cool when you're welding. But the same kind of machine can be hooked up to this induction forge to do a water exchange inside the machine. So like I said, I've got a lot of stuff to get set up before I can actually use this, and I'll be talking about the induction forging process and how I wind up using it here in my shop over the next few episodes, I'm sure. But I wanted to just talk a little bit about it here and give you some watching material or some ways you can find out more about induction forging. Here, if you'll go to YouTube and look at a guy's channel, his name is EJ of the Anvil. And he's a guy in Oklahoma City, I believe. And he's got a really, really neat YouTube channel that's pretty much dedicated to induction forging. And he has pretty much the same machine that I have. And you can see how he uses it to do forging in the basement of his house. And so that's another really cool advantage of these machines, is that if you live in an area where you cannot have an open flame, you know, or it's not safe for you to run a propane or a gas forge because of, say, you know, the ventilation requirements for those kinds of solid fuel and gas fuel forges, induction forging might be a really, really good alternative for you. You do need a pretty hefty 220 volt line to run it, but most residences can do that because most residences have the capability to run things like stoves and dryers and other appliances that need, you know, 220 volt electricity. But anyway, EJ of the Anvil is a really good forge, induction forging channel. As far as I know, he's really the only channel out there that's really dedicated to induction forging. But there's a pretty cool demo by Mark Asprey as well. If you just Google or search for Mark Asprey induction, you'll find the video that he put out. I'm trying to think. Oh, there's another really pretty neat resource for people that have induction forges, and it's called Metalworks, Mettle Works, Metalworks. And what they do is they provide supplies and equipment for induction forging. So if you just go to Google and search Metalworks induction, I'm trying to look this up while I'm talking to you guys. let's see, Metalworks Induction. Yeah, it's called The Metalworks. They have a website where they talk about these machines a lot, and there's some really neat videos that are linked out there as well. And they also have replacement coils, so if you need different size coils for your heater, you can get those there. And they also have recommendations on cooling and that kind of stuff. So anyway, I'm going to quit rambling on about induction forging, and just stay tuned. I'll be talking about it a lot more in the future. So anyway, see you in the next segment of this episode. Well, it's Tuesday the 4th now, and I'm on the way back home. Ran into town to the hardware store to pick up a few things to try and test the induction forge out. It's going to be a week before the TIG cooler gets here, and anyway, I want to play with it. So I got some hose barbs and some water hose, and I'm going to do what I've seen several other people do. They just hook the water hose up to the back of the machine, and instead of recycling the water through an actual cooling unit, they just cycle the water through the unit and, you know, out into the yard or something. So I've got a couple of old water hoses in the yard that are in bad shape, you know, where one end has gotten run over by the lawnmower, or it's gotten dry rotted or whatnot. And so I'm going to take probably a 10 to 12 foot section of some of that unused garden hose and connect it to the water out. And then I've got some adapters and fittings and whatnot just to connect a garden hose to the water inlet. And a standard water hose or a standard home water system PSI is generally between, I think it's between 40 and 60 PSI, sometimes upwards to 80 from what I understand. And this machine only requires 20 to actually trip the sensors to allow it to turn on. And since this water is only going to be going through the machine one time, I don't have to worry about circulating hot water back through the machine. So it should definitely cool the machine sufficiently. So really all I've got to do is disconnect a 220 line I've got in the shop and connect it to a 40 amp breaker that I just bought. And, I believe that's a 10-3 wire that's on that circuit. I'll have to check that to be sure, but it should be plenty enough to run the 30 amps that I need for this induction forge. I think they say that I should really have between a 40 or 50 amp circuit, but I'm just going to test this once or twice. I'm not going to do a whole lot. I just really kind of want to see the machine work as soon as possible, so that if I do have any issues with it, I can contact the vendor pretty quickly. So anyway, that's what I'm up to. I've had a lot of people ping me on Instagram. I've been posting some things in my story about the induction heater and or the induction forge. And I've had a lot of people ask me questions, you know, what specifically are you going to use the induction forge for? And so I posted a video today that I took when I was at Clay Spencer's shop last year taking the Power Hammer Tools class. And we used his induction forge, which is a similar 15 kilowatt unit, to heat some flat bar that we were using to make spring fuller tools for the Power Hammer. And it was really nice. You could just pass the flat bar right into the coil, and just like using an acetylene torch, you know, you could just heat just the area you wanted to bend, and then we were able to pull it out and do the bend. And so that was really nice. So I'm going to probably do the same thing. I'm going to use this for that kind of bending and localized heating, but I'm sure I'll find all kinds of other uses for it. So I plan on making a few YouTube videos about it, and of course I'll be updating my Instagram stories and IGTV and stuff as I put all this together. I think I'm going to make a video of this
garden hose experiment with the induction forge. So by the time this podcast comes out, that will probably already be on IGTV. So anyway, that's what I'm up to. I'm about to get after it. See ya. Well, it's Wednesday, August the 5th now, and the induction forge saga continues. So in order to make a smaller coil to heat metal more efficiently using the forge, I've got to get the equipment to cut, bend, and flare quarter-inch copper tubing, which I didn't have. I had a copper tubing cutter, but I didn't have the flaring equipment. And I'm finding out that the flaring equipment, if you can find it, is kind of expensive. I just left a hardware store and the only tube flaring equipment they had was $75. And I just didn't feel like paying that much for a tubing flarer. And so now I'm going to an auto parts store where, according to their website, they have one that's cheaper. Still going to be like $30 though, I think. So anyway, to make a long story short, you know, the expenses associated with this induction forge are quickly racking up. So anyway, I hope I can get all this stuff to make the coils myself, because being able to make my own coils will, in the long run, make things more efficient and hopefully reduce costs overall. I did find a really good article. I think it's on iForge Iron by David Roberts, where he detailed his induction forge build. And in it, he connects a voltage meter to his induction forge. And he does a pretty good job of showing what it cost him per hour to run the machine. And all things being equal, it's a lot less expensive than propane. So if I use this machine as much as I can, theoretically I'll save money in the long run, and all this running around will be worth it. But time will tell, and I'll keep you updated. See ya. All right, well, that was a success. I went to the auto parts store, and they had the flaring tool kit that I needed to put a flare in quarter-inch copper pipe. This also does 3/16, 5/16, 3/8, and half. So if I ever need that tool, I'll have it. And it was $30, so less than half what the hardware store wanted for a similar kit. So I'm having to run all over creation to find this stuff, but it beats having to work with the 8mm and 14mm copper pipe and fittings that are on the Chinese machine. Those are extremely hard to find, and I guarantee you I can't find those things local. So now I'm off to the third store to try and find a coil of copper pipe that I can use to make my own coils. So I think what I'm going to be able to do is make an adapter where I take a piece of the 8mm copper pipe and I'm going to solder it to a quarter inch NPT adapter and then use some standard quarter inch flare nuts. And that will let me use standard quarter inch pipe and quarter inch fittings without having to mail order stuff. Without having to order stuff online. Just gave away my age. We don't mail order much anymore, do we? But anyway, I'm going to look for some copper tubing now. So let's see how that adventure goes. Okay, it's Thursday the 6th. Let's continue the talk about induction forging. So, yesterday I made that new coil and attached it and got it all working and just heated material like crazy. I mean, I put a half inch bar in here and heated it from cold
to a spark throwing welding heat in less than a minute. And then I took a piece of 5160 round bar, put it in there, heated it up to a yellow forging heat, and then went over to the 88 and pounded out a chisel and did all that in less than 2 minutes. And so pretty crazy how much speed and efficiency I think this thing is going to give me for small diameter material. I have yet to really play around with it when it comes to like large size stock. And I've got a bunch of different kind of ideas for coils that I want to make. But I wanted to talk briefly just for a second about some of the top questions that I've been getting as I've been posting, you know, information about induction forging on Instagram. I've been getting a lot of the same kind of questions. Number one, the machine, obviously, if you've been listening to this podcast, you realize that it does not come with a cooling system. You have to figure that out on your own. And like I said previously, I've been using the garden hose method. And I think that would work permanently if I didn't end up getting the TIG cooler. But I hope the TIG cooler works. But that's probably one of the number one questions is, what else do I need to buy if I get an induction forge? And so cooling is number one. Number two is you need to have the equipment that I went around yesterday trying to find, which is copper tubing and copper tubing tooling, like a cutter and the flaring tools and all that. And I found my flaring tool, obviously, as you heard, at an automotive parts store. And then I bought a tubing cutter at Home Depot. And then when I got back home last night, I found a tubing cutter that I had in one of my tool drawers. And so now I have two. But and then, of course, you've got to buy all the wiring and the wiring kit, pieces, breakers, wires, and all that that you might need for your shop. The other question that I've been getting is, does it absolutely require 220? There are models that I've seen on eBay that are designed to use 110 volt. I think you would need a larger amperage circuit for those. And I don't think they would heat quite as quickly. And I think maybe capacity might be limited somewhat, with the 110 volt. So, and then the last question, the most popular question that I've been getting is, what happens if the metal touches the coil? So if you're holding metal in the coil while you're heating it up and you bump the side of the coil, I did that yesterday, at a low heat, it just sparked a little bit. So I saw some sparks fly, kind of like if you touch jumper cables together after you connect them to a battery, you know, you get kind of a spark. But I didn't feel anything in my hand. It didn't shock me. If you get a bar of steel inside those copper coils to a welding heat, and then you touch that copper is pretty thin, and you are probably going to melt it. And then you're going to have a mess on your hand because the water flowing through that copper tube is going to spew everywhere. And so most people solve that problem by putting some fire bricks in front of the induction forge, and setting them up so that at a certain height so that you can put your material into the coil and have it perfectly centered without any risk of touching the coil. So anyway, I just thought I would bring those frequently asked questions up and talk about those for a minute. Tonight, I'm out in the shop. I'm going to do a little cleanup out here. Been kind of in project mode getting the induction forge going and with the kitchen remodel and woodworking, and so I've got tools kind of scattered everywhere, and I need to get things cleaned up and kind of get back into the mindset of producing some things. I want to make some more hammers soon and some knives, and so in order to do that, I need to get my tools all squared away. So that's what I'm about to do, and I think I'm going to wrap this episode up. I need to start some show notes, some podcast notes. So, I'm thinking about doing that on my website. where I can list things like, you know, the details for this induction forge or things that I talk about in the podcast. I can list those out under the show notes. So I think I'm going to do that, and I'm going to try to go back and make show notes for the previous 30 or 29 episodes. This will be episode 30, I believe. So maybe somebody will find that helpful. So anyway, I'll talk to you next time. Bye. Okay, thanks for listening. That wraps up episode 30. This episode was pretty much dedicated 100% to induction forging. And as I noted at the end, I'm going to put some show notes out on my website, which is derekmelton.com, just DerekMelton.com. So those will be up in a week or so, and I hope that helps somebody. See ya. Bye.